Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the ghost studies with author Brandon Masullo. Do you have any theories on, and it could just be chance, why some people have paranormal experiences and other people think those people are crazy because it's never happened to them? And it could just be that person A was in a situation where, you know, maybe it was where they lived, or, you know, maybe a person had passed and came to them like the aunt and saying goodbye. And then nothing like that's ever happened to another person. So in your research, how do you kind of, or did you come to any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, in the book, I talk a little bit about certain people who just seem to be more prone to ghostly encounters. So their increased probability of having ghostly encounters has nothing to do with like psychic abilities, but rather it's something as simple and concrete as the ability to taste, touch, and smell. And that has to do with the thing I talked about earlier, which is environmental sensitivity. So environmental sensitivity is not psychic sensitivity. It's a little different. As humans, we all sort of react to the environment differently. There's certain people or certain individuals that are just more attuned with the environment. And usually these people have like migraines, they have fibromyalgia, they have severe sensitivity to light, sounds, and smells. They're just overwhelmed with the environment, long-standing allergies, chronic pain. Now, these environmentally sensitive people, they're just experiencing the world a little differently. So if I walk into a room and it has fluorescent lighting and I sit down on a chair that's been wiped with harsh chemicals like bleach, and I'm sitting next to a guy who's just doused in Old Spice or some cologne, I'm perfectly fine.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. I'm okay. A person who's environmentally sensitive would probably get headaches from the fluorescent lighting. They might get rashes from the harsh chemicals on the seat. And maybe perhaps they get nauseous or have some other sort of symptoms related to the cologne. So we're both in the same situation, but a person with environmental sensitivity just is impacted more by the stimuli that's around them. And what we're finding is these people who are environmentally sensitive also have significantly more paranormal experiences. I think they did one research looked at sort of sent a survey out to people who were categorized as environmentally sensitive, and 74% of those had paranormal experiences. When I did my research in Scotland, I found that people who were environmentally sensitive had, I think, three times as many paranormal or anomalous experiences than the general population. So, you know, we all have this ability to sense what's going on in the environment. However, some are just better at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all radios have the basic equipment to pick up or tune in radio waves. However, some are just more refined and sophisticated and able to pick up things more clearly. These environmentally sensitive people maybe just have sort of this superior biological radio. And if ghosts are something that happens in the environment, or if there is residuals or telepathic distress signals in the environment that are trapped, it would make sense that these people probably would pick it up more than the average person.
I've always kind of thought, and I don't know that it makes any sense, but I've always kind of thought that people who are able to experience it maybe are more open to it, where other, because, you know, there's just so much coming in at you all the time, constantly. You know, you're bombarded with lots of things every day. And so sometimes I think maybe people just aren't open to it. They don't, it's not like they are intentionally shutting it down. They just don't have the space. You know, there's no bandwidth left for paranormal activity.
Yeah, I'm finding in recent years, I've been looking more at like, why is one place haunted and another not? Like, what's the difference between locations? Not so much people, but locations. And I'm finding that when it at least comes to people, if they go into an environment sort of open-minded and by that, I mean, not disbelieving. You know what I'm saying? You know, not going in there disbelieving, but being open to the idea that something could occur. I think those people usually have more experiences. So, you know, I think that there's people who adamantly disbelieve. There's no such thing as ghosts or whatever. And then there's people on the opposite side of the spectrum, which are, you know, everything's a ghost. I think the middle ground seems to be where people are open to the idea. In other words, they don't go around disbelieving it. They're open to the possibility of it. And it seems like those types of people, if you're looking for like a good space, headspace to be, it's probably there. So maybe I think what you're saying is probably accurate to some degree.
And one other thing I want to ask you about is ghostly experience. That in the book, you talk about psychological aspects plus changes in internal or energy, changes in internal energy or bioenergetics. I don't have my glasses on, as you can tell. External information acquisition equals ghostly experience. Could you kind of dive into that just a little bit?
Yeah. So I actually think that these ghostly experiences, it's kind of like crisis apparitions, are just a series of complex processes. So it's not as simple as waking up and witnessing a ghost or a crisis apparition of your aunt or whatever. There's a series of complex processes which are occurring consciously as well as unconsciously, which sort of set the stage for these ghostly experiences. So emotions and psychological aspects have always been linked with paranormal phenomenon. This is all the way back to the early psychical researchers who believed that heightened emotions are necessary for paranormal phenomena to occur. So crisis, trauma, acute stress, life-threatening events, these things cause an explosion of emotional distress and turmoil that kind of reverberate throughout your body, and it affects you mentally and physically. So acute emotional shifts related to crisis are sort of the starting point or the catalyst for ghostly phenomena. You know, in the ghost studies, I talk about, you know, that being the start of it, you know. So the instance of my aunt, that example that we've been talking about, the start of that is her having a crisis event, which is obviously dying. That sets off numerous things internally for her and leads to biological changes inside of her, right? So if I think I'm going to die, my emotions are going to be pretty heightened. My emotions are heightened. It's going to impact sort of the internal part of me, right? And then that internal part of me sort of leaks out into the environment. And then it reaches, if you want to think about this, and I go over step by step all these things in there. So it's hard to sort of condense into one little paragraph. But all these things really take into account sort of like the ingredients of a paranormal encounter. So if anyone's interested in it, you know, I on my website, I have it's hauntedtheories.com. I write a couple little articles about what it is. I write a couple different articles on sort of the psychological, the environmental, the bioenergetic fluctuations that kind of occur. Psychological aspects, changes in internal energy, plus environmental things, and that kind of where ghosts come from. The book was written, and I always say this, I wrote the book. The book came out in 2017, but the book was actually written probably 2 years previous to that. So now it's 2024, right? So it's been a little while.
Yeah, has anything in your thought process or your research changed since you wrote the
honestly,
book?
Honestly, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it changes every day to some degree. It's kind of hard to say that, but, you know, you look at things, you add more information to things. And, you know, I've gone on to other projects since this book. So it's always difficult to sometimes... For me, at least, when I'm on a project, I'm giving that project 100%. So looking back at something I did 7 years ago can sometimes be a little bit challenging,
Oh, yeah.
you know, and
I
it's
mean,
like,
I just read it. It's, you know, so for me, it's much, much fresher in my brain.
So, you know, I always tell people, it's like, you know, the stuff I talk about in here is, you know, I still stand by it. But when people come up to me, like if I do conferences and stuff and they ask me specifics about the book, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to sound horrible, but I don't remember.
No, I get
And
that.
yeah, you know, and it's tough to do. And I always tell myself, I was like, I got to reread the book. But you know, the core parts are there. You know, you have your psychological part, you have your environmental part, you have your bioenergetic part, which is bioenergetics is basically stuff that happens inside us. And then we talked about telepathic distress messages. All these things kind of come together. And in my book, I talk about how the combination of all these things really kind of leads to a ghostly experience.
It was an interesting read to me because it gave me a little different way to think about things. And especially that telepathic distress. It makes sense to me that if your aunt was to be able to reach you to tell you she was passing, does it matter about time? Could you still get that message 50 years from now? You know what I mean? It's like, is there a loop that could replay, like the story about the woman in her house and hearing, "Mom, oh, mom." And what is that? And I think what we're all looking for is, here's what that was. Here's the definitive answer. But you do give an example too about, you know, how phones have changed over the years. You know, there was a time you couldn't imagine picking up a device and hearing your loved one on the other end. Now I could send a message to you in Ohio and you'll get it 1 second later. And I can send you a photo. I could send you all kinds of things. And we can communicate that way. You know, that's in my lifetime. I'm old, but in my lifetime, that wasn't there. The internet wasn't there when I was a kid. Think how that's changed everything. So, you know, think about research into the paranormal. That could change, you know, and, you know, I think it does take a lot of people looking into it and studying it. I talked to some guys last night. It was a really interesting conversation, but they have this haunted location and they like to use it, in their words, as a lab. And so there's one entity that seems to be very dark in there. Now, I've never been there, so I can't confirm this, but I've read a lot of people's reviews who went there and they seem to be experiencing it. But I said, I mean, can you get rid of it? Can you, what can you do? And he said, then I can't study it if I get rid of it. I was like, oh, never really thought of it like that, but you're right. So there's just so many people kind of studying different aspects of it that I'd like to think one day we could know more. And maybe everybody, you know, the collective kind of comes together and it helps explain it. And there's things in your book that helped explain things to me that in ways I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, and you know, I'm the goal is to just think outside the box, and I think, you know, we're with TV, it's usually a one or two things about what ghosts are. You know, it's residual, it's an intelligent haunting, or it's a demon. You know, and I think that those, not to say that those don't exist, but I think there's other things that could be going on as well. So if you really just only focus on every case or every haunting being one of those three things, you're going to find things that line up to it. But if you open your mind and look at other possibilities like telepathy, or you mentioned like time loops or things like that, I think you just really just become more enchanted with it. So the idea of a paranormal occurrence or a ghostly apparition not being like a discarnate soul that's come back to haunt a location, but rather it just being sort of the result of telepathy or something along those lines. We think it's less cool or less sexy or less something, but actually it's not. It's actually, from my perspective, a little bit more intriguing. You know, in the book, I talk about how my thoughts or my hypotheses don't explain every type of ghostly encounter there is. So my hypothesis about the ghost doesn't really explain intelligent haunting. So if you're sitting with someone and talking about actually physically communicating with a ghost or something like that, that doesn't, my thoughts and hypothesis don't line up with that. So that's okay. And, you know, as we move forward with research, it's from my perspective, it's just a little bit more about having fun. Mm-hmm. And just enchanting yourself every day with stuff.
Do you have any current projects you're working on in the paranormal world? Books?
I do a lot of writing. So I do. I'm working on a book right now about we went into a haunted location. Me and several other people. One was a physician. Another was a molecular biologist, and another was a computer engineer. So we went into a place and we were there for a couple of days, and we just basically did an investigation. And we also did a questionnaire and gave it to, I think, 240 people who went to the house as well. So we're just going through all the data that we got from that. We're going to write up a book about
that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Sort of like, why is this location have so many ghostly experiences? And obviously, there's no way to definitively answer that, but we give some ideas about what could be going on. So that's what we're working on now. And if people go to my website, I write articles and different stuff. So I'm always doing something. I'm usually always write. If I feel like at least 3 hours a week, I'm doing something ghost related. So I'm not part of a ghost hunting team. So I think everyone approaches things differently. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will go to haunted locations and kind of spend the weekend there every weekend or once a month. Where I'm more of the guy that's reading and looking at past experiences and writing stuff up. So we're all attacking this differently. Not to say I don't go to haunted locations, but it's probably not as frequently as everyone else in the field.
Now, I'll put a link wherever people are listening to this and they can click on it and it'll take them right to your website, hauntedtheories.com. Now, You also have a Haunted Theories Facebook page and
that's
on
right.
Twitter or X. X sounds so weird to me.
I know.
I can't, every time I say that, it's like, what's X? But it's also there, Haunted Theories. And the book is The Ghost Studies, New Perspectives on the Origins of Paranormal Experiences. I downloaded it from Amazon, and so people can get it there, and I'm assuming wherever books are sold.
Yeah, you can pretty much get it anywhere.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
The book itself is, there's a lot of heavy stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I think most people could pull quite a bit out of it.
Absolutely. There were some things that I wrote down so I could go back to later, not just for this conversation, but I wanted to, and I highlighted them because I have a Kindle, so I just highlighted them. And
there's a lot of like case examples and stories, mm-hmm. but that's just, for the first book, I think I got a lot I learned from this.
Yeah. And there were some really interesting things that you brought up that I had never thought about. And I thank you for that. And that wraps up our conversation with Brandon Masullo about his book, The Ghost Studies, New Perspectives on the Origins of Paranormal Experiences. You can buy the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you could sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.